You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 46. And today we have Linda as our guest on the show with a really beautiful and very interesting dream that we totally alchemize at the end. I think you're going to love this one. I've already recorded the interpretation and the discussion with Linda, and I'm just coming back here to add the beginning and end to the show. So I'm here to let you know that there's lots of tips for you to get from Linda's dream, and lots of beautiful insights that you can perhaps apply to your own life. And we have a number in the dream. You'll hear the number come up. It's 1.25. And listen to how that number gets explored and interpreted. And another really lovely thing to listen out for is listen out to what actually, to what the 1.25 represented in Linda's life and how stunningly important it was. So I'm not going to say any more, but just, you know, I like to give you a little clue to get you started. It's a beautiful dream. So here we go. Have a listen. Welcome to the show, Linda. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm sitting here in pouring rain, which is very unusual in Australia and very, very lovely.
Well, that sounds great because we're sitting here in snow.
I love these worldwide chats, these worldwide podcasts. It's fantastic. I'm glad I've got rain at the moment personally, but you know, hey, you can go skiing. Now, what lovely dream have you got for me today?
Okay, here it goes. I was at a trade show that was supposed to be a photography club show. But as it turned out, when I got there, there was a craft and jewelry show going on also. I was with a woman from one of my clubs I don't know very well, but we split up when we got to the show and I wanted to go look at jewelry. A Native American man came up behind me and he put his feet up against the back of my feet as if he was measuring the distance of my stance. And he asked me if I knew how far apart my feet were. And I said, I thought it was really odd question. So I said, about 1.5 feet. And he said, close, about 1.25. And he and a partner were going around doing this to entertain the crowd, even though it seems kind of a bizarre thing to do. And I noticed he had a lot of moon motif jewelry on, which I really quite like in waking life. So I kind of followed him to get his attention to ask him where he had gotten the jewelry. And he said it was from a jewelry maker at the trade show where we were. So I was very excited. And I showed him a necklace I had on that is a crescent moon with a moonstone in it. Mm. And he said he liked it. But he said, if you listen to the stones, sometimes they talk and tell stories, which I thought was interesting.
Wow.
He put his face close to the pendant as if he was listening to it. And I actually stopped breathing for a few seconds because I was afraid it would prevent him from listening to the stone. And I had my eyes closed. And all of a sudden, I felt that he was gone, that he was no longer there. And when I opened my eyes, in one hand, I had an odd picture that's something like an ultrasound picture, you know, like they, during pregnancies, but there was nothing really in the photo. It was just kind of a gray blur. And in the other hand, I had a piece of paper and there were words, but they were appearing on it almost as if they had been written in disappearing ink, but were now appearing to me.
Mm.
And this part was really kind of odd because the word, they said, went up at first into the ether. Then there was a bubble, hot, dark oven, fought death and won. I was horrified in my dream. And the more words were starting to resolve themselves into readability, they were appearing on the paper. And then they said, nothing other than natural forces, the mother and nature's son. And there were more words appearing, but I woke up and I was alarmed or panicked. And that's it.
Wow, that's a fantastic dream. I love it. The only bit I didn't quite hear clearly was the words that were on the paper before they resolved. Could you just go over those again, please, Linda?
Sure. To the beginning, we went up at first into the ether. Then there was a bubble, and then something like hot, dark oven, fought death and won.
Mm. Wow, what was it that particularly made you feel uncomfortable at the end of the dream?
I don't know. I guess just the words on the paper, the hot dark oven.
Mm.
I don't. When it started in with nothing other than natural forces, I mean, I guess that was okay, but I really was very confused as to what any of the words were supposed to mean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, it's a beautiful dream. So we're going to work past, you know, what you felt uncomfortable about and bring out the really sparkling gems to continue the jewelry theme in this dream. But first, I just want to ask you some questions, of course. You know, when you first went into the trade show, you thought you were going into a photography exhibition. Is photography something that you do or something to do with your life, or is that just completely a dream symbol?
No, that's something that I do. I'm a member of some club.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a fashion.
Okay. And are you also a jeweler, or was that a complete dream symbol?
I'm not a jeweler, but I do like and wear a lot of jewelry with moon motifs on it.
Great, that's excellent. And my other question at the moment is, when you're standing and you had your two hands and you had the kind of ultrasound picture in one and the paper with the words on the other, which was which? Did you have the piece of paper in your right hand?
The picture was in my left and the one with the words was in my right.
Good, yeah, that's what I imagined it was. So that's really helpful. That works in with the interpretation. Now, later on, we're also going to come back to that 1.25. In fact, yeah, no, we'll just remember that for the moment. We'll come back to that, because when a dream brings up a number, it's usually quite specific about something, and there's several different things that can mean, and we'll come back to that later. I just mustn't forget to do that bit. So you open at a trade show. So obviously this is something that is familiar to you, because you are, you know, you do belong to a photography club and you go to photography exhibitions. So this is familiar. But while you're there, you're surprised because there's something else, and that something else is actually more attractive to you. And that's the jewelry. And really, you know, the rest of the dream, until we come back to the other photo, which is the ultrasound, the rest of the dream is really about the jewelry, or seems to be about the jewelry. So that's really where we're going to explore. So the beginning of the dream is almost like, now remember, a dream refers to the day or two before the dream. So the dream is almost like, I seem to be following one path in my life, but actually there's something that I've put as like a secondary path that's actually more important to me. And this is something that I actually want to develop in some senses, you know, just like the ultrasound photo almost wasn't quite developed. You know, this is something you're going to bring into your life, or your unconscious mind would like you to bring into your life. But what's standing between you and actually fully developing that is the fear or the discomfort that you found at the end of the dream before those words resolved. So that's what we're going to sort of go into. That's the overall theme, you know, that I'm getting here. And jewelry, in and out of dreams, we're often attracted to jewelry because, well, it's beautiful. It's adornment. And we choose jewelry to, I guess, in a way, kind of either express things about ourselves, you know, as in your case, you know, I've got an affinity to moons. Moon is me. You may or may not know why, but this is how you choose to adorn and display yourself. It has a deep meaning for you. It's something you are either wanting to project out there to show other people, or it's something that you're wanting to get in contact with more yourself. And that's why you wear the jewelry close to your skin. But either way, this jewelry in the dream and in waking life is kind of represents your worthiness and your values and what you're focused on and what you would really like to bring into increasing richness and value in your life. So that's kind of like the sense in the dream, is that I have a deeper value that is to do with moons and the feeling of the moon. And of course, in the dream has also got to do with contacting your own American Native kind of feeling. It's like, this is something that relates to my gut instincts, my feelings about the land, my feelings about myself. It's very, very grounded. That's all the emphasis on the feet in the dream, you know. It's grounded. It's right down there. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a gut feel thing. And your dream is about wanting to get in touch with that kind of feeling about wonderful values within yourself and wonderful aspects of yourself that you want to develop further and bring out and show the world. So the moon, often the moon, of course, to state the obvious, comes out at night. So it's not something that we really clearly see. It's the moon will often represent things like your intuition, because it's what you see in the dark. You know, you use the moon to see in the dark. We use our intuition to see our way when we don't really know the way otherwise, you know, by other means. And of course, the Native American is very much about feeling the way and intuiting the way. Why do you choose the moon in the jewelry that you do wear on a day-to-day basis, just before we continue with the dream?
To me, the moon has a lot to do with feminine ties to nature and feminine mystique and just our just natural ties with nature. And I've been really interested in the symbology and mythology, and I do wear a lot of moon jewelry. So it does sort of represent to me a sort of a female aspect in some ways.
That's excellent. And in many ways, our intuition is a kind of female aspect as well, isn't it? You know, our left brain is kind of like the male side of ourselves, and our right brain is kind of like the female side of ourselves. And that right brain, one of the many qualities of the right brain is to get a holistic grasp at life, to get a holistic understanding, which is also intuition. You know, you can't rationally explain why you see or feel the world in the way that you do. And that's what you get from a holistic picture, from a female picture, from the female side, from the right brain, from the mother instinct, all the things that you mentioned. So we're going along the right track here with the moon, both in your own interest in its symbology and in from a sort of dream perspective as well, about developing your intuition. And I guess I'm going to jump all over the place here, as I often do in dreams, because all sorts of things occur to me at once, and it depends which one comes out of my mouth first. But, you know, you talk about the ultrasound, and I know that you know, in the early days with ultrasound, they couldn't do the ultrasound till the baby was about, from memory when it was my turn, about 14 or 15 weeks. But I know now they can capture the pregnancy at a very, very young age on ultrasound, can't they? You know, almost before the mother herself knows that she's pregnant. So there's a kind of feeling with the ultrasound photo of almost this is a very intuitive thing. It's catching something at such an early stage. And that's what intuition can do. You know, the intuitive mother will think, I think I'm pregnant, before you can even test for it, you know, before you can really grab the photo. So this I'm dropping out a little bit. I'm not hearing clearly. Are you speaking to me, Linda?
That actually happened to me.
Oh, can you explain?
Intuitively, well, I have one daughter, and I kind of had that happen to me where I kind of knew even before I went to get tested many years ago.
Oh, that's fantastic. You weren't 25 by any chance then, were you?
No. No.
I'm looking at the 1.25 figure, you know, as a gap between the feet. I'm looking for somewhere to pop that in. So you are a very intuitive person, and your dreaming brain has picked up this ultrasound picture as a reminder to you of how deeply intuitive you can be, because this, in fact, happened to you when you intuited your own pregnancy way before it was possible to pick it up.
Right.
So we know that's been there for a long time. And in some senses, did you get an ultrasound photo when you were pregnant?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so in some senses, it may be, I'm not sure yet, but the dream may also go back and reference what was happening for you at that time.
Okay.
So it may be important in how, it wasn't 25 years ago, was it?
No.
Okay. So just bear that in mind as we go through it too. So you're a deeply intuitive person. To have your feet apart on the ground, it's really, you know, the wider your feet are on the ground, obviously the more stable base you've got. Well, apart from unless you're doing the splits and then you look really silly. In fact, 1.25 is probably quite a good distance for your feet to be apart. So it's got good grounding. You know, if your feet are really close together, you haven't quite got the same sense of balance. So there is that feeling in the dream of being grounded, being stable, and really tuning into the moon necklace in the dream. Now, a necklace you wear, of course, around your neck, and the neck is the point of communication. It's halfway between the head and your thinking and the heart and your feeling. So really what comes out of your neck, what comes out of your communication, out of your speaking, should really be a beautiful mix of, you know, half head, half thought, half head, half heart. A mix of thinking and feeling should be perfect. And in a sense, in the dream, you're being required to tune into that, to listen very carefully, that it's not just about the fact of intuition, it's about really deeply tuning into it. That's what the Indian native, who is an aspect of yourself, is requiring you to do in the dream, to, you know, to listen to that tiny little voice and also to speak it out. So there's a sense there that part of it, recognizing that deeper value of not only tuning into your intuition, but also speaking it out, because the necklace, the value, is placed around your neck, the speaking point, the communication point. So the dream is really drawing on that. How can you use and express your intuition more strongly? How can you listen to it more? And then how can you convert that listening into speaking it out? And that's where the dream then hits this almost a fear. It's almost like you're left in your hands with something at the very, very early stages of its development. You know, you've captured it in the ultrasound photo. This is something you are able to tune into, something at the earliest shift of its development. But will you carry it through to the finished product? Will you carry it through to the full development? And that's where the fear in the dream comes in. In the dream, it's like, you know, there's the bubble above you, you know, and these words are in the bubble, and they're dark and they're frightening. And so the bubble being higher up above you is more like your head. It's more like the thinking. So this part of the dream for me says, there's fears that you've got in the thinking part in your head, not in your heart, but in your head, that are possibly overriding, going down into your heart to really intuit and express your feelings. Is this making sense so far, Linda?
Yes, actually, very much so. and it takes away the fearfulness of the dream. You know, very interesting how you're interpreting it, because I wasn't really sure, you know, what to make of it at all. But that's very, very fascinating.
Before going into it more deeply, is it ringing any bells about your life at the moment?
Yes, absolutely. I've been in my career for a long time, and I'm somewhat required to be analytical. And I'd really like to move out of that analytical role and into, now I've been studying things like psychology and mythology have been interesting me, but I really take the best in.
Yeah, you've dropped out slightly there, Linda. Can you just backtrack to, you were talking about psychology and mythology, and just repeat from there?
Yes, I said my interest is kind of shifting into other areas, more of psychology and mythology, but my career is an analytical, more scientific career. Mm. And I don't really feel like I can make a shift in career.
Okay, well, you can, because I'm going to go into this more deeply and help you through the alchemy to enable that shift. Because what your dream is really saying is that, you know, dark thoughts, and dark can mean frightening thoughts, it can mean fears, but of course dark can also be what you can't see. You know, so as you say, you're working in an analytical career, probably because you followed your passion, you followed your interest, also probably because you have feared to some extent your intuitive voice, you know, and your feelings. you feel safer up there. You don't really want to manifest the deepest, you know, the deeper stuff. And particularly with the kind of academic training that you've probably been through, which has probably, you know, said, well, you know, you've got to be able to prove everything. You've got to be able to analyze. You've got to be able to QED everything. You can't just take an intuitive plunge, you know, and those are the beliefs that have been programmed into your mind that are coming up in the dream.
That's true. That's very true.
And what I really love about the dream is that even though you were fearful and confused about that bubble, at the end, when the words did begin to resolve, they were actually very positive words. You know, they were the Mother Earth. They were things coming together. They were very soft. They were very feminine. So, you know, as the words resolved, they didn't, to me, listening to you, have any fear in them. They were lovely. They were supportive. They were nourishing. So for me as the listener to go, well, why would you fear those are lovely, nourishing things, tells me that the fear in your mind is pretty big, because otherwise you would be going, oh, look, what's on this bit of paper is actually very nourishing. I feel good about this.
Right. Right.
Now,
true.
What's in the on the left hand, and that's why I thought that the piece of paper must be in your right hand. What's in the left hand in the dream is often what's in within you, you know, your inner self. And what's in the right hand in the dream is often how you're handling your outer world. So within yourself, we've got the ultrasound. We've got, yeah, within myself, within Linda, I know that I'm deeply intuitive. I know that I get the picture way before anyone else does. I know that I tune in right at the beginning. I know I have such huge potential to move this ultrasound into a finished product. But in the right-hand side, the paper, how you put the words out into the world, how you express this intuitive feeling in words that work in your outer world is where you're feeling the problem is. And in many senses, the dream gives you the solution. It says, stick to language, stick to words that are feminine, that are embracing, that are nourishing. Use those words. How does this sound so far?
It sounds great. It's very fascinating. It's actually a lot less scary.
Even just talking through that resolution of the words begins to take the fear away, doesn't it? You know, moving into exploring how beautiful those words are, in fact, on the paper when you look at them.
Yes, very much so.
And also when you take your eyes from looking up into the bubble and bring your eyes down, as you know, as you're listening to me, you might even bring your eyes down to your right hand, because that's moving your eyes down more towards your heart, down more towards manifestation, down more to the ground, and saying, yeah, these are beautiful words.
Right.
Now, I'm intrigued. There was a lot more detail in the dream, but I'm intrigued to go back to this 1.25. Because it seems to come across as a really good number, like it's a comfortable number. And we've looked at, well, you know, we haven't looked at, I asked you whether you were pregnant 25 years ago, and that didn't ring any bells. But what can you remember what was happening for you 25 years ago?
25?
Yeah, years ago.
I can't think of anything specific 25. The only thing, I knew you were going to ask this question about numbers. I've been listening to your other podcast, and I've always kind of discarded numbers as being random in dream, and it's fascinating. So the only thing I can think of is it was 1.25 year ago I was in the hospital, and that's the only thing. I tried all variations of trying to figure out what could have happened so many years ago. The only thing I could think of is that 1 year and 3 months from the dream, I'd been hospitalized, but I don't know.
It's most likely that you're spot on, because we've just been talking about what a deeply intuitive person you are. So, we're going to go down that track. Just for everyone listening in, you would go, say, 25 years ago when you were 25. But because of the 1.25, you might also go January 25th. Or and then you'd go down 1.25. And so you're spot on there. So when you look back at being in hospital, I don't know how much you want to share about that, Linda, but was it an elective thing, or was it a result of an accident or an illness?
No, actually, it was a major illness. It was for about a week. Not life threatening. I suppose unless you didn't live near a hospital, but it was for about a week, and it was a serious illness. But that's the only combination. I tried all the different combinations of 1.25 to come up with different things that happened.
It will definitely be going back to the illness because, you know, our bodies become sick when we're out of alignment with our, you know, being in balance in life. You know, as I'm sure you deeply know, stress or any kind of mental imbalance, or emotional imbalance, I should say, if we don't address it, wants to be heard more. So it starts to manifest in our body. And that's where a lot of sickness comes from. So in a sense, your mind or your heart made itself really felt because it said, hey, Linda's analytical here. She's in the head. We're not getting through. Let's really make her listen. Let's just affect the body here. Let's bring it into the body. Let's bring it closer to the ground. In fact, let's get her right off her feet altogether and get her in a hospital bed. So there'll be something relating the type of illness you had and or the need to get you off your feet and into healing some aspect of your life into seeing something new. And that's why, in a sense, the dream was saying, look, you've got a lovely balance between your feet at 1.25. So that's saying that what was put back into balance as a result of the healing in the hospital is really where you want to take your base from now to move forward. Would you like to extend anything here?
Yeah.
Boy, that really does hit home because I've been, you know, as I said before, I've been struggling with, you know, the work that I'm doing, and it is very stressful. And, you know, there are periods where you feel almost physically ill from it. And that does recur. I didn't actually even think of relating it to you're very into it.
Did the illness have to do with your heart or creativity or flowing in any way?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Did the illness you had to do with your heart or with flowing or with creativity in any way?
No, not with the heart. Not really.
Okay, I was just looking to see whether, you know, it was your, because we're looking for your intuition to be open up and express more, I was looking to see whether the illness was something that was beginning to draw your attention to what was shut down in your body and what needed to open up and heal. So I was thinking, oh, coming from the heart or flowing rather than being rigid and analytical.
Well, actually, I suppose if you could consider intestinal things flowing in a way, it's not creativity and it's not the heart, but it also could be related to stress.
Right.
Somewhat.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense because the intestines is, of course, how you're digesting life and how you're flowing. So, you know, there's potential there to be blocked, as in constipated or have a, you know, a loop in your intestine would be a block to flowing. We've also just right when you go back, Linda, and listen to this podcast, you'll hear me at the beginning. I think I was using the word gut instinct quite a lot. I'm not sure whether I was or whether that was an article I was writing before I spoke to you, but gut instinct, our intuition comes not only from a heart, but it's a gut instinct thing. So if your guts or your small intestine were the focus of your illness and consequently your healing, then what your body was saying, what your mind was communicating through your body was your gut instinct is stuffed. Can you heal this, please? We want to flow.
That's amazing, actually.
And so your dream is referencing that and saying, look, you know, you had a great balance 1.25 years ago. You got your feet on the ground. You got your gut instinct sorted out. You got healed in that area. Now, what are you going to do with it?
Wow, the challenge.
And the thing that goes in brackets after that, as your mind is, your beautifully analytical mind has probably already worked out, is, well, I better do something about this. Otherwise, my guts are going to get very unhappy again.
It's sort of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Describe the double-edged sword.
conflicting or possibly conflicting.
That's right. So if you listen to your body, or you listen to what your body was saying 1.25 years ago, it was saying, yeah, I'm part of this double-edged sword. Part of this conflict is like a knife in the guts as well, you know, which you may or may not have had in hospital to sort things out. I don't know. But it's that, you know, if you don't listen to your body is your best monitor, you know, along with your dreams, to really feed back where the perfect balance is. Your head will tell you that things are out of balance, or that your head will tell you, no, don't go down that track. That's not good. That won't be balance. But your body and your dreams tell you where the real balance is, what, you know, the place to aim for is. So what I would suggest for you is to move to a dream alchemy practice, which we can work out. That will, in many ways, you know, because one thing is interpret the dream, and the next thing is do a dream alchemy practice. And what that dream alchemy practice does is work with the symbols of your dream to talk to your unconscious mind to get rid of those fears, to reprogram the beliefs which are causing the fears. In your case, to reprogram the beliefs that are saying, whatever you do, don't forget to be analytical at the same time. It's actually quite hard to do both.
Right.
So my feeling, and I'm just running this past you before we do the dream alchemy, Linda, my feeling is to maybe work with really focusing on that piece of paper at the end with the fully developed words in it, which are actually very loving and beautiful, and to maybe think of getting one of the beautiful moonstone images from the dream, and perhaps even one of your own moon creations in life, and putting the two together so that we're bypassing all that bubble and everything and saying that's, you know, in fact, we might even just get that bubble to, we'll transform that bubble. I've got a way to do that. So if I put all this together, is this beginning to sound comfortable?
Yes, very much.
Okay, so what we're going to do now, Linda, are you good at visualizing? Are you quite good at bringing up a visualization?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so let's go with this one. You imagine, or you close your eyes and you visualize that you're at the end of the dream, and you're standing there with the ultrasound photo in one hand, your feet 1.25 meters apart, feet apart, whatever inches, whatever they are, whatever the 1.25 is. In fact, I might even get you to do this visualization standing up with your feet apart. Okay. And then you got standing tall and beautiful. You've got your hands out in front of you, comfortably so. And in your left hand, you've got the ultrasound photo. And in your right hand, you've got the finished piece of paper, the one with the beautiful words. And in fact, it's not only got beautiful words, it's got beautiful pictures in it too. It's got pictures of the mother, the children, you know, all the beautiful feminine feelings and symbols that those words evoke in their finished form. And also in that hand, you've got the moon's necklace and the moonstone in it. And you can feel, you could almost with your ear listen to those beautiful words being spoken. And as those beautiful words are spoken, they move up from your hand and they go up to that bubble above you and they transform it. They just give it a beautiful burst of full moonlight, beautiful white full moonlight. And the bubble just disappears. It's gone. It's actually not completely like disappeared. It's gone in that it has transformed into beautiful little moondrops. And those moondrops, which are all good and wonderful, come down and rainbow themselves onto your piece of paper in your right hand. So making that right hand feel absolutely beautiful, you know, so full of moonshine and positive feelings. And if you can extend the visualization while this happens, you notice that in your left hand, that ultrasound photo has fully developed and become a picture of a total full moon. So doing that visualization, and you probably will need to listen to the podcast and really get that in your mind and practice that visualization, and doing it the normal number of times, which is 20 times a day for 4 weeks and then twice a day for a couple of weeks. What that's doing is transforming those dark thoughts and into moonshine, into intuitive, beautiful blessings, and developing the initial stages of your intuition into full blossoming, full development into what you will talk and put into the waking world. Does that make sense, Linda?
Yes, and it's very, very lovely and nothing like I was expecting. So pleasant surprise.
Are you already feeling better?
Yes, very much.
Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your dream. It was an absolutely beautiful dream. And I love it when somebody, you know, like yourself presents a dream and says, this is frightening, this is scary. And within half an hour, it's transformed into something beautiful. And I know, and everyone listening in knows that, you know, you're going to walk a slightly different path and you're going to be so well and happy and passionate and you're going to flow so well with it because it's there for you.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your intuition. Hopefully I can develop my own to be as good.
You can surpass it, Linda. Thank you. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. I'm sure that you enjoyed that. And I'm loving having this wonderful flow of guests onto the show. I love not knowing the dreams beforehand. I love the pleasure of seeing the unfolding. And I love getting the feeling from the guests that I can feel, as I'm sure you can listening in, the alchemy beginning to work, even just in the first run through of the alchemy at the end of each dreamer's discussion. So I hope you're enjoying that and beginning to work out how to not only interpret your own dreams, but also how to create and apply dream alchemy in your own life for really wonderful results. And if you need more inspiration for that, remember to visit either of my websites, www.dream.net.au, or my blog at janetheresa.com. And if you'd like to interact more, come to my Facebook fan page. It's easy to find, and you can click the links on either of my websites to get there. There's a lot of interactivity. It's a nice place where we can mix light-hearted repartee and occasionally give out prizes as well. And also, lots of deep and meaningful stuff about dreams and dream interpretation. So pop along to the Facebook fan page and join in the fun and deep insight. And otherwise, I'll see you again in 7 days. If you're still accessing this dream show, the podcast, from either of the websites, remember you can go to iTunes and subscribe, and it's all free, of course, and then it will just automatically flow to you every Friday. So until next Friday's show, which will be episode 47, have a lovely week, have some beautiful dreams, enjoy your alchemy, and see you then. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.